B-Pod Studios.
Something, yeah. I don't know.
That's like Dario Saric used to always tell me, he cursed at the referees in Croatian.
That's good.
And he used to try to teach me Croatian curse words.
Oh, really?
I couldn't really get it down.
Fascinating.
Yeah, huh. Zizan Bergazna is one of the... But no,
oh,
it's not,
Bob,
no,
dump button!
No, it's not a curse.
That oh, it's
means,
not a curse.
No, that was taught to me by the Sixers masseuse man. That's how we say hello to each other. It means like... Have a great day. Hope you're having a good day. Zizan Bergazna. Yeah.
Huh. Zizan Bergazna.
Zizan Bergazna. Yeah.
So the,
I don't trust you, Bob.
The Sixers
I'm
masseuse
not lying to you.
There's a Sixers masseuse man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sergey.
Sergey. And he's a what? He's Croatian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah. Cool. And he, no, he's not Croatian.
Okay.
Sergey is from, somewhere
I'm
else.
I'm going to guess Russia.
It is Russia, but I'm trying to be more specific.
From Kiev?
But I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I went to Kiev when I was in high school.
Oh, did you?
So.
That's oh, that's right. You went to Russia. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
that's
you
pretty
played,
wild.
Yeah. You played basketball.
Yeah, I played basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did the Russians say when they saw you?
Zizan Bergazna.
Yeah, exactly.
610-632-0975. We got open lines for you if you want to jump in. Do have to tell you that the 6 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic was brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company, specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. 7 o'clock hour. Oh, by the way, you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank, financial solutions for your business. Wanted to get into the football realm with you here, Trey.
Okay, here we go.
You have a young guy in New York named Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Who is just nothing short of a phenomenal running back.
Yes, he is.
And you just traded away probably the best wide receiver in football in Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
How are you feeling if you're Saquon?
Damn. Like, really? What are we doing here? So that means, okay, all right. Hey, Saquon, let's go. Get your legs right, baby.
If you, if you're an Eagles fan and you were up late last night, Adam Schefter, who will join us in 1 hour, tweets out that Le'Veon Bell goes to the Jets. All right, fine. That's some news.
All right.
And then you also see that the New York Football Giants traded Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns for a first-round pick, 17th overall.
Yeah. The New York Daily News cover just came out. Schefter just tweeted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just says, what? Exclamation point.
Yeah.
And it says, Giants ship Odell to Browns for 17th pick in the draft, a third rounder, and Jabril Peppers, and that's it. Exclamation point.
Adam Schefter's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Jordan Renan of ESPN.com covers the New York Giants. He's ESPN.com's beat reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him last night. I know Jordan a little bit. I texted him, WTF the Giants doing? Can I get you at 9 a.m. tomorrow? His response is, I'm sure he was up to his elbows in work with all this, was sure. So we're going to talk to him at 9 o'clock to find out exactly what is going on with the New York Giants. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was as if the Washington Redskins, which I pointed out earlier, they're a team that have just 3-10 or more win seasons under Daniel Snyder over the first 19, 20 years of his owning the team. Mm-hmm. In almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. They've been a dumpster fire since he bought the team.
Yeah.
The New York Giants, in trading Odell Beckham Jr., and really, what, Snacks Harrison also they moved on from during the season. He went to the
And Eli
the Lions.
Apple they traded. They're in full rebuild, except Eli's still getting paid $21 million.
They have Eli, and they have Saquon Barkley, and they drafted a running back. What was he, a third or fourth overall pick, Saquon Barkley? And you could have had a run. You're trying to do a rebuild, and your centerpiece right now is a running back.
Yeah.
That's not the best idea
in
football.
An aging quarterback.
And an aging
in a
quarterback.
Pass happy league.
An aging quarterback. He's aged.
Yeah. Because Eli is what, 39, I believe?
Yeah, I would say 38, 39, something
39.
Like that.
He's been in the game forever.
Yes, yes, he has. It's like the Giants are looking at the Redskins. It's like the Redskins are saying, we're the dumpster fire of the NFC East, and the Giants are going, hold my beer.
Yeah. It's not good. But you have to kind of look at the relationship between Odell and I think with Pat Shurmur. It just seems like there must have been some words that were exchanged or something to make that was even worse than what you heard during the season for them to say, you know what, we're going to get you out of here.
But you're putting your eggs in a basket on Pat Shurmur. Like, think of that. I hear you, and I'm all about, like, you know, you can't let the inmates run the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, They got rid of Odell Beckham Jr. because Pat Shurmur pretty much said you got to get rid of him.
$16 million in dead money.
Yeah. It just there's a big strain on the relationship there. You could just tell like it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
I guess they felt like, you know what, we can't control him. He's going to say what he want to say and do what he wants to do. So we need to just get him out of here. Now that makes Cleveland though.
Yeah, they're
very fun to watch.
They now have Jarvis Landry and Odell go back to high school, college, and now pros together.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool.
I knew LSU. I didn't realize college as well. Or high school, excuse me.
Yeah, and then you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt now as well.
Yeah.
They got a lot of firepower on that offense.
And you know what? All of them had the same type of personality.
Yeah.
Also with, even with how Baker Mayfield carries himself.
Mm-hmm. A lot of swag on that
team.
Oh,
yeah, man. And see, that's the thing. When you have a bunch of like-minded guys, now, you know, you might be able to, Cleveland might do something.
I would love to see. I mean, yeah. Whatever. It's the AFC.
Might be able to make some noise.
I would love to see the Cleveland Browns just like be good again.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
The city won a Super Bowl 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
A year and a half ago. Whatever.
I was telling Bob in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm the empathetic towards long time losing franchises, and Cleveland would be that. I wouldn't mind if they were good.
Yeah. Exactly, especially because the AFC.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Yeah, and they've gone through their period of suffering.
And the Steelers.
Yeah, right. They've gone through their period of suffering.
Yeah.
I would be fine if they all of a sudden were good again.
Yeah. And if you're an anti-diva wide receiver guy, just look at what Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham have done to the caps of the two teams they departed.
Mm.
That's almost $40 million in dead cap money that teams just had to eat.
Did you see Albert Breer's tweet yesterday? When it came to elite wide receivers. Did you see this? This was interesting. Albert Breer, NFL Network, comes out with this tweet. Don't want to dump any water on parades here, but this is the list of number one wide receivers on the last 10 Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman, Alshon Jeffrey, Edelman again, Demaryius Thomas, Edelman, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin, Victor Cruz, Greg Jennings, and Marquise Colston. Marcus Colston.
Pretty incredible.
Those are good players. And he acknowledges good players.
Yeah, but not top five guys.
Yeah, right.
Not diva guys.
Go figure. Go figure.
That's why Alshon's perfect, because he's as good as some of them, but just very chill, below the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Well, here's the other part of this. So, DeSean Jackson. So, this brings me to back to the Eagles. DeSean Jackson, back with the Birds. Uh-huh. Would you classify him, Trey, throughout his career as a diva wide receiver?
No.
What is he to you?
He's a little showy.
Showman?
I wouldn't say diva.
Now, cocky or arrogant? Or cocky or confident?
Confident.
That's the vibe I get from him. And like, I know it was stupid, and I know they had just beat the Eagles, and I shouldn't have taken any joy out of this, but Ryan Fitzpatrick wearing his clothes at the press conference, and DeSean coming in topless to the press conference after the game, that was nothing short of hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, if he was a real diva, if he was real cocky or arrogant or whatever, I would have thought it would have been something that he would have taken exception to. He would have been like, dude, that's my stuff, what are you doing? But he found it to be absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah. DeSean is a good team guy. I mean, you know, you can't get hung up on all the stories that were just thrown out there in the past. I mean, he was a good team guy. Even when I was on the coaching staff here, he was one of those guys that just came in, put in the work, was a good locker room guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't someone that was causing a rift or doing anything stupid or trying to fight with guys or anything. Nothing ever came off the field. So he was just one of those type guys that just came in and put in the work.
Here was my big issue with everything with DeSean Jackson from yesterday. Everything that kind of resurfaced about his past and whatever. The fact that the two teams that he had played the most for, the Redskins and the Eagles, both wanted him. There are reports out there about both wanting DeSean Jackson back.
Right.
So who knows DeSean Jackson better than the Eagles or the Redskins?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, right?
Yep.
So you have the opportunity to bring him back. Both teams wanted him. The Eagles got him. The team that probably knew him best out of any team in the NFL. They got him back.
And I think he wanted to be here.
He absolutely did.
He's missed Philly since he left.
But, absolutely. But are you gonna put it past the Redskins to offer him more money?
No, because they're dumb.
They are a pack of idiots.
Yes.
So they say whatever. The Eagles get out in front of it. They are able to trade for him and bring him back. And yes, ultimately he did want to be back here. The other part of this is a story that came out a couple of years ago about Deshaun. Is that I feel like in the NFL, and Trey, tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like if you want to make gang ties and references to players, I feel like Deshaun's not the only person in the NFL that you can make those accusations about.
I mean, anybody from the West Coast, or some of these game areas, you can say, all right, you know what, they have some type of gang ties.
All right, well, Jeff Skiversky last night caught up, and so did John Clark, caught up with Deshaun Jackson.
Johnny Tarmac?
Johnny Airports, my friend. Deshaun Jackson landed, of course, they were on the scene to talk to D-Jax about his time returning to Philly.
Excited, man. I'm blessed, brother.
Deshaun, can you describe the feeling of when you first found out?
It's unreal, man. It still ain't sunk in, man.
Is this one of the greatest moments of your career to be coming back to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Bless him, man. That's all I can say right now.
How dangerous is this offense going to be with Carson?
Ready to light up, man. Ready to light up.
You hyped?
You're about to get...
We're going to rock that 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10.
You're about to get someone that wants to rewrite everything that was said about him. And someone that's going to be extremely focused and is going to put in the work to really take this team over the top. I think Deshaun is going to come in here and really be on point and is going to come to like try to silence all the naysayers.
Really? Like in terms of getting a restart in his original franchise?
Yeah, you can see that he never wanted to leave this city, and and to be back, especially with Carson Wentz and just everything that's going on, I think that he sees an opportunity to have a chance to, even as a player, to go and win a Super Bowl.
And you can hear it in his voice. He sounds like a kid that just got drafted.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't believe I'm getting to play here. And that's good to hear. And to your point, Trey, about him being, and you know better than all of us, about him being a good team guy, I'll go back to that Hard Knocks series.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched that when he was with Tampa Bay, he seemed like such a professional. He had problems with Jameis Winston. He didn't like he wasn't getting the ball, but the way he handled it, it was very, very professional.
I have seen much worse on the sidelines.
And he's got now, what, two kids? So at least one.
Yeah, I know he's got one.
I thought he might have a second. I could be wrong.
I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, so do I. And it's cute. His kid's really cute. But that, I would imagine, matures a guy significantly more than anything. Deshaun, you know what I mean? Like, he's a different person now.
He's good.
It should.
After probably his first, I don't know, maybe 10 games this season, and I'm assuming he stays healthy. I think he had a hamstring injury last year. He's been dealing with that. It seems like all those speed guys deal with those soft tissue injuries. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Jackson's right now fourth on the Eagles' all-time receiving yards list. Fourth. Wow. He's about 340 yards shy of Mike Quick for third.
That'll be done in probably like the first four games.
One monster game from D-Jax. It's all hype, but that's pretty impressive there. 610-632-0975, but there was a running back available in free agency. We all know his name, Le'Veon Bell. There was a deal done for him. Sam, what are people saying on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked yes or no, would you have done the deal for Le'Veon Bell? 4 years max, $61 million. And $35 million guaranteed. We have just under 1,900 votes so far. 66% say no.
Oh, my goodness. People are anti-running back. How old is this guy? 26 years old?
Mm.
Four-year deal, which we know in real NFL terms is like a two-year deal. 35 guaranteed? I'll do that. Yes, please, and thank you. 610-632-0975. Mike and KOP, Michael and Blackwood. And then we got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Caller of the day. People are being put in the running for our pair of 76ers tickets March 28th against the Brooklyn Nets. And you'll also get one spot in our knockout game on the Sixers court after the game. You can also register for a spot in that competition on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. And don't forget, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can watch us on Twitch. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, Jamie, Samantha, Bob on Twitch. Of course, simply follow 975thefanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast.
We can be real idiots there.
Yeah, we pretty much, all the idiots that, you, like, we pretty much take the 4 hours of our idiocy and just crunch it into 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're allowed to curse there.
Just throwing that out there. Just say whatever. It's pretty awesome.
There's no FCC on Twitch.
We did have some limoncello.
Yes, we did.
Our friend brought in some limoncello for us last week.
That last Friday.
That was a job.
I noticed we had beers in the refrigerator this morning, Trey. We might have to have one with Twitch.
We might have to have one with that.
Because we're celebrating today.
Exactly.
26 years ago today.
Happy anniversary, Bob.
Thank you.
Oh, happy anniversary, man.
Oh, is this your wedding anniversary?
We had a blizzard 26 years ago today.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes, we did.
Happy anniversary, Donna.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Bob. And Donna, God bless you. Time is 7:14.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Want to join in on the show? Trey, what you just told me, we got to get into a little bit later, but your people, man.
Man, my state of Florida, man.
You're Floridians.
Yeah, it's wild down there.
Your fellow Floridians, they be crazy.
Yeah.
I actually saw our Natalie Agonoff is in Florida right now. She's taking a little vacay. Right?
Oh, okay.
They were down there for spring training. She decided to hang out down there.
Stay down there.
Can't blame her.
She missed the flight back.
She's on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going through stories yesterday, and I see Natalie posted a story. It's just of a backyard. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a nice backyard, whatever. And then I see a ginormous snake slither into the backyard.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the caption was something along the lines of like, ah, no. Yeah. Right? And then there was another video she posted of a news story in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Then it was a woman being interviewed on the news, and it just said, woman, after 11 years, reunited with her cat.
Mm.
But this story that you have about Floridians.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Just jump into it. A little tray. Yes, thank you very much. The tray light zone.
So I guess a guy is home and his son calls him crying on the phone about, you know, he felt like he was slammed by one of the teachers. A body slammed or whatever.
Like physically? Like
I guess this is what the kid, you know, the kid crying. He was saying that, hey, dad, one of the, and this is at a middle school, one of the teachers slammed me on the ground. Well, you know, I can understand the parent being upset, but he took it to a whole nother level. He goes up to the school, jumps out of, well, he didn't jump out of his car because he was in a wheelchair, but stuffed in his pants was a loaded AK-47 with an extended clip, or an extended magazine, my bad.
What? What the hell?
Yeah, so, of course, you know, they have to put the school on lockdown, and they end up arresting him, but... What are you doing, man?
Father's in a wheelchair, but somehow managed to hide an AK-47 in his pants.
In his pants. With an extended magazine.
That's what she said.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, what do you... I can understand you being upset as a parent. Anytime you hear your kids crying or calling about something, I can understand that. But to take it to that level?
Right.
Because then, like, what's next?
Right. Would you have just gone bat? You wouldn't have gone AK-47?
Nah, not even that. I'm not even taking a weapon up to a school just because of goes on. I mean, you know, if you have a problem with a school, I mean, you just go up there and you go and... You don't have to take it to that level.
I'm curious to see what exactly happened between the student and the parent. The student and the teacher?
I guess the teacher ended up... The kid was doing something and the teacher grabbed him and his phone... flew out of his hand, and so then that turned into, hey, the teacher slammed me, And then here you go.
There are other ways to resolve that issue that don't involve an AK-47.
However, I
could understand why someone would lose their mind and not think straight if they heard that a teacher in any way, shape, or form put their hands on their kid.
Absolutely. I get that part of it. You're upset as a parent. But to go up there with an AK-47, man, that's just too much, man.
Is that why you got out of Florida?
Yes.
They have bad problem-solving skills.
Yeah, but I love it up here, man. I mean, Florida, I mean, that's what I grew up. You know,
right,
I mean,
of course.
It is what it is.
The land.
You know, those are my type. Those are my people, you know what I mean? You know,
I
was right there. I was born there. Grew up, you know.
They can be your people from afar.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Your state, brother.
Yeah,
state.
I know.
Mike and KOP, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So I just got to say, I honestly feel like the Giants actually got a pretty good deal on this one. Like, they got rid of a psycho wide receiver who, let's be honest, the last 2 years, he hasn't had the productivity of his first three. So, I mean, they get a first, a third, and they replace the safety that they just lost. And they're way better drafters than the Eagles are, so they're way better talent evaluators. So they've been able to find Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, Odell. They just got more draft picks, and they don't have to worry about this headache anymore. And, you know, I wouldn't trust the Eagles because I don't trust Howie and the evaluators to do stuff like this because they can't draft to save their life. But I think the Giants will be just fine on this one.
Yeah, I will say this. Odell Beckham Jr. 2 years ago and last year still bothered by that ankle injury. Last year, I believe he still had over 1,000 yards, more than a handful of touchdowns. Now look, the first couple of years were incredible. And he still is the owner of the single best catch I've ever seen in my life in a football game.
Yeah,
I still think they could have gotten more than a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and a safety.
But now you control, I don't know what their original first round pick was, but now you control that pick plus the 17th overall plus an extra third rounder. They can get their quarterback. They can do so much. They can replenish a lot of their team, you know, the right way through the draft, unlike the Eagles who just replenish it through free agency.
But they also have $16 million in dead money, and they took a running back last year when they're trying to, and now all of a sudden want to start a rebuild, building around a running back?
That's how you do rebuild. You rebuild with cheaper players who you get in the draft, and then you can overcome your cap problems because you're not spending in free agency.
Well, generally, you start a rebuild with a quarterback, not a running back.
Well, that's
or a fine left tackle.
Like, you can combine your two picks and try to move up if there's a quarterback you like. Now they can do that. So now they can rebuild. And I think they went about this a real smart way. And I'm an Eagles fan. I'm not a Giants fan, but I think they made a smart move here. Like, off the face of what it is, I mean, how could you trade Odell Beckham? But when you really think about it and peel it back, it makes a lot of sense because he's a psycho. And he's probably not going to do anything. Like, you're not probably going to see the Odell Beckham you think you're going to see in Cleveland. So I just think the Giants are probably going to, after this comes to fruition, they're going to look like they were the smart move on this one.
The New York Giants have the 6th overall pick, the 17th overall pick. They have a 2nd round pick, a 3rd round pick, a 4th round pick, and 4 5th rounders.
Mm. Yeah, so you're not telling me they can't restock and rebuild their team the right way through the draft.
It's definitely possible.
What I'm really trying to prove here is that the Giants are going to go about this the right way, while Howie and the Eagles think free agency and trading is the right way to do it. And that's my whole sticking point here. And I know, as much as you like to say that Howie's not in charge of the draft, Howie's in charge of the draft. Like, he doesn't want to say it, but he is. So
I don't think he would say, Mike, thanks for the call, man, but I still don't think he would defer to Joe as often as he does. I mean, I think that's why Joe Douglas was brought in here to concentrate on that draft. And, Mike, we're going to put you in the running for our Sixers tickets. But, Trey, when you look at the Giants, if you're advising their front office, is this the way you would advise them to say, oh, yeah, over the next 2 years here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a running back, and albeit, I think Saquon Barkley is going to be, if not the best, one of the greatest running backs to ever play football. Like, I just have that high opinion of how well that guy plays the game. But is this the way you would advise them to do it? Running back first and then maybe a quarterback later?
That
seems backwards.
Yeah, it does seem a little backwards. I mean, unless that quarterback is someone that's you know, top notch out there. I mean, you know, Eli has been on a decline a little bit. And then now you take away one of his major weapons with Odell Beckham. You know, it's... It's tough, man. Now you just, everything is going to be on Saquon to see what he can do. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they, with looking at the two first round picks that they have and all the different picks that they have throughout the draft, I'm pretty sure they're going to try to find somebody, a way to recite that. But the man, I don't know what, and I'm not familiar with all of the college receivers that are coming out, but that's a hard replacement right there to replace Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Especially with Eli not getting any younger. I mean, as much as you want to just look at Odell and say, well, the numbers weren't what they were when they started out, but it's one of the greatest starts to a wide receiver's career ever.
Yeah.
He still had 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, yeah. Six touchdowns.
77 receptions. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's with Eli not exactly being good.
They've been tied to Haskins a lot, the kid from Ohio State, but I don't know if he's any sure thing by any means. I saw a great tweet yesterday. It was, the Giants are just now a quarterback, an offensive line, and a defense, and a wide receiver away from being 8-8.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we're talking about all skill position. They've been horrible on the offensive line for years. And they haven't, you know, who was it, Mike, that just called saying that they draft really well? A buddy of mine texted me. He said, oh, really? Look at their offensive line. They haven't done anything to draft well.
O-line to the Giants is like skill position to the Eagles. Like the Eagles are fine. With, I mean, like Lane Johnson, for instance, Jason Kelsey's obviously been good.
Fletcher Cox is a beast.
Fletcher Cox has been a beast.
And by the way, to Mike's point, I went through it yesterday. More than half of the starters on this team are drafted. So if you want to give some of that credit to Chip Kelly, whatever. It's not like they're 100% free agents or trades. Like, there is a lot of drafted players on this team and a lot of cornerstone pieces that are from the draft. So let's not, like, get crazy there.
And Odell had the two longest passes for touchdowns last year on this team.
He was their best quarterback.
He was their best quarterback.
I forgot about that. But here's what Odell Beckham Jr. does. All right, so last night we're watching the Sixers, and we're a little frustrated with everything that was going on throughout that game. You have a superstar step up and say, like, all right, now we win. Like, now's the moment when we win.
Mm-hmm. I got this.
Odell... For the Giants, I mean, remember the game that ended up turning the Eagles season around the year they won the Super Bowl a year and a half ago? That was a game that Odell Beckham, had two touchdowns in the fourth quarter?
And he did pee-pees on the sideline, doggy style?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But regardless, he got the touchdowns. Like, with a guy like that, as electric as that, you're never out of a game. That's what he brings to the
table.
This
man has had double-digit touchdowns. It's 2 years.
He's a really, again, the best wide receiver in football.
And real quick to Mike's point that the Giants draft well. Here, I'm going to give you a quick rundown as quick as I can.
Oh, boy.
This is Giants draft picks remaining on the team. This is courtesy of Dan Graziano.
Okay.
2018 class, they have six. 2017, four. 2016, two. 2015, zero. 2014, zero. 2013, zero. 2012, zero. 2011, zero. 2010, zero. 2009, eight, zero. 2007, one. 2006, one. So they don't exactly draft well.
So the team has built the free agents.
Yes. And hence why they're in a rebuild.
Here's what I'm learning. Drafting is really hard.
It's 40% of the first round every year is busts.
Yeah.
40%. It's really tough. Like, you know, the Raiders and the Giants have all these picks. That's great. You still have to hit on them.
That's the thing. That whenever you bring up the draft picks, that's why, look, first round pick, 17th overall from the Browns. Like, that sounds nice. But
yeah, you got to make
Odell Beckham.
You traded a sure thing for an unknown.
Exactly.
Yeah, real quick, when it goes into the draft, when it comes to how it all plays out, you give all the coaches, you give them a list of everybody. Everybody has the list of all the players that are getting ready to go into the draft. And so each coach has to watch at least four games of each player that's on there. And everybody has to do a write-up of plus or minus or however you see this guy. And you have a meeting with the coaches and the scouts and everything. And everybody kind of has their little meeting of the minds, and then you just take it from there. But there is a lot of coaches are involved in that as well, based off of what they see off the coaches, off the field.
All right, let's get to Andy in Deptford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Andy?
Yo, guys. How we doing?
Feeling great. Right. I still feel like the Giants are a dumpster fire. The Redskins are spending money left and right, but they're going to be bad again. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, but you know what? I look at it like that works out beneficial to the Eagles because, you know,
of course,
these teams aren't going to be threats next year. I mean, you look at the Redskins, you lose Preston Smith, you lose James Crowder. Who the hell is their quarterback? I mean, that team's going to be crappy for years to come. I mean, the Giants, they're still holding on to Sheila. He's like 50 years old. and then you got the Cowboys with Dak. I mean, I really don't think he scares anybody. So, I mean, moving forward for the Eagles, I mean, you know, you look at all the moves we've made. We've built spots. You know, Malik Jackson's gonna solidify that D-line. We bring D-Jack back. We got that deep threat. Now, I just think we got to resolve the running back situation. One thing that bothers me with the Eagles, it seems like they always go cheap on two positions, running back and linebackers. For whatever reason, they don't really seem to value those positions. And I think, you know, I think we may have to change that a little bit and get some legit players on those two areas.
All right, Andy, let me ask you our Twitter poll today then. Would you have done the deal for Le'Veon Bell? Would you have brought him here on $35 million guaranteed over 4 years?
Absolutely. What? You kidding me?
$61 million max over those 4 years. $35 million guaranteed. You would have brought him in on that.
You look at how
I would have done it in a second.
You said you wouldn't have?
I would have in a second.
I definitely would have. I mean, on the field, it's a no-brainer. The guy's a stud, running the rock and catching the rock. And then you look outside of the field, I mean, look how much Harper had just made the Phillies just blow up with ticket sales, merchandise, and all that. Le'Veon would have killed it in that area.
Like, man, the Eagles ain't worried about that part.
Yeah, no, they're good. Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, the Eagles don't have to, like, in baseball, you got 162 games, you got 81 at home, you got to pack the seats, right? You got 16 games in football, especially at a town like Philadelphia, you're never worried about packing the stands.
I mean, yeah. Do you guys agree with that point that where the Eagles just, for whatever reason, don't value running back? I mean, we drafted LeSean McCoy in the second round, and we've had a bunch of plug-in guys ever since then. I mean, I just don't get why they don't want a bell cow kind of runner.
Well, I think it's related. Like you brought up linebackers also. I think the way of the game dictates why the Eagles don't want to play pay those guys.
But you know what, though? The game has changed. You know, look how much money C.J. Mosley got. These guys, linebackers are getting paid now. Running backs are getting drafted in the top five. So it's not like, you know, early 2000s. When that position was devalued. You know, guys, teams are taking running backs in the top five, top three picks. So, I mean, you look at the stud running backs in this league. Gurley, Zeke, Barkley, David Johnson. These guys were all first round picks. I mean,
Barkley was second overall, yeah.
So I think, I mean, you can hit late on a Kamara, but I mean, you look at how many stud dual threat running backs are in the league right now. I think we got to try and get one of those.
I'd love to see it, Andy. Thanks for the call, man. I'll put you on the hold for our Sixers tickets here. I'd love to see that, but I feel like the game is going away from that.
Yeah.
I feel like, the game has changed, but it's changed in the direction away from valuing running backs, where you feel like you can get one anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at success, too. You can have great running backs, but, let's go through Super Bowl champions. I mean, are there great running backs on those Super Bowl champions? Not a lot of times.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, it's kind of gone away from that, and that's why I say, I think in the Eagles' mind, the game isn't running backs, so that's what's dictating you're not spending a lot of money there, you're not spending a lot of money on linebackers, because there is no running game that needs that linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, so you go cheaper on the linebackers. I think that's their mindset, at least.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to firm up what you're going to, you know, get the offensive line some more depth. And because, I mean, if the blocking is there, you can put anybody back there. It doesn't matter, because everything is set up for all blocking schemes are set up to get the running back to the safety. So if you can execute that, you can put anybody back there,
yeah.
But I also think that, you know, with Jordan Hicks out of here, you know, you're going to have to look at what you're going to do with middle linebacker. You're going to need some more depth. You don't know where Brandon Brooks is going to be, how everything's going to play, even how Kelsey is going to develop.
Right.
So you're going to need to have some depth in that offensive line, and then you kind of, you know, see what you're going to do with that middle linebacker position.
Just looking over some of the last few drafts here over the last 6-7 years, Saquon Barkley, second overall. Ezekiel Elliott, fourth overall. Todd Gurley, 10th overall. Going back a little bit further, Trent Richardson, third overall. From the American Alliance of Football Americans of America.
Is that where he is now?
But then you get Todd Gurley, but then he fell off towards the end of the of last year.
Oh, yeah, he fell off. Yeah. Disappeared, absolutely. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll hear from Brett Brown after last night's victory. Though it didn't feel like that with 21 turnovers against the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Let you hear from him, and also let you hear how Joel Embiid decided to describe his own basketball game, with six of those 21 turnovers belonging to the process. Time at the Fanatic is 7:41.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Philly, though. Philly, we're going to rock that 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Coming up in about 9 minutes. Trey, is there any better person to speak with today than Adam Schefter?
Absolutely not. That's the guy.
Yes. Like I said earlier, I was enjoying a plate of nachos last night. Couldn't sleep. Got out of bed around 11:30, midnight. Made some nachos.
Let me ask you how you make your nachos.
Well, Bob, it's a scientific process. I get a pizza tray. All right? Okay. I take out my tortilla chips. Tortilla, for being authentic. Mm-hmm. And I put them out on the pizza tray with over aluminum foil because I don't want to have to keep washing that pizza tray. Spray a little spray on there. A little spray so it doesn't stick. Right. Nobody wants that.
Right.
I lay down the chips. Cheese over top.
Right.
Right. I had some chicken.
What kind of cheese are we using?
Mexican blend, Bob.
That's what I use also. Okay.
What else?
I'm just wondering.
Then right. I had a little chicken, so I sprinkle a little chicken over the cheese. Another layer of cheese. Garlic powder. Bang. Little quick thing. That's
garlic
the secret.
Powder.
You're welcome.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're welcome into my world right there.
Now, are we doing salsa when the tortillas are done?
I bring it out when I see the edges of the tortillas or tortilla chips are browned a little.
So, wait, you put it in the microwave or the oven?
Oven. Come on. The microwave. What is this, amateur hour? Come on, Bob.
Really?
You know what,
so
I would really
get into your...
I don't... When you're having nachos 3 times a week, Bob, you take it seriously.
The tomatilla salsa is king.
Tomatilla is delicious.
Mm.
That is very good. Bring out of the oven, Bob. Bring out of the oven. Then I have a little sriracha over top, right? Then a little salsa.
All right.
Then I sit down and I enjoy. Mm. Now, it depends if I got some banana peppers, a little banana pepper over that, right?
How about a little bacon bits?
I don't own bacon bits.
Oh, fine item.
I can't say I've ever gone bacon bits.
Jalapeno?
If I'm feeling it. I didn't feel like a jalapeno was the best idea at midnight.
Yeah, probably not.
No. So I'm enjoying the nachos.
I'm thinking nachos in general weren't a great idea at midnight. But hey, that's you, especially when you're getting up at 2:30 in the morning. But whatever, you know.
Exactly.
It's your stomach.
But I'm eating the nachos. One hand, scrolling Twitter with the other, and I see Adam Schefter tweet out that Odell Beckham Jr. had gotten traded. So I'm like, thank God we talked to him at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN.com. So we'll talk to him as well. ESPN.
What a thankless job that is.
The man is already at the training facility, the practice facility of the New York Giants. He is already there this morning reporting. Wow. That, my friend, that is...
Wow.
That, ladies and gentlemen, we just dumped something.
We got to get him back. I want to see if he's mad at us.
That was a road rage incident wow.
That we just encountered. Now, speaking of road rage, not to go too
I had a little soon. Incident the other day as well.
You did. Not you, I mean, Jamie.
No, what? I wasn't raging. I was raged at.
What'd you do, you jerk?
I don't know. Legit don't know.
That's fun.
Sped around me, came around the side as I was getting off the 95 exit right in Old City there, and then cut sharply diagonally in front of me, head out the window screaming and pointing, and basically pulled into the lane to almost try and cause an accident.
Oh, like, wow.
It was something.
And you just sat there like, well, that guy's angry.
He was so angry. My house isn't that far off the exit, so I went down to the next exit and drove around that he couldn't follow me.
Yeah.
Keep it clear head.
Yeah. Trey's like, that's why you should own a giant truck like I do.
You can run people
fine.
Over.
Exactly. By the way, so speaking of a little, driving incident, if you just parked in our parking lot... they're doing construction on our building here in Bala.
In our offices. Yeah.
Yes. And they just parked a dumpster in front of cars. like blocking the cars in their parking spots.
Like a good six cars.
Like there's like six cars out there. If they wanted to leave right now, yeah, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Like that's, I can think of a couple better places for the dumpster.
Yeah. Well, apparently some of the salespeople were leaving a little early. So Joe Bell ordered it. Our boss Joe Bell ordered it.
You stand there and you make those sales.
You speak of driving, though. Something just came out I saw on Twitter. Most aggressive driving cities in America. Los Angeles, number one. Guess who's number two?
Philadelphia.
That's right.
I love Philadelphia.
We're aggressive.
I love Philadelphia. Being a city guy now, I can't. When I go back to the burbs, I'm so much more frustrated because I like the fast pace, right? People moving and shaking, right? Suburbs, very slow. Mm-hmm. Can't stand it. City,
too slow for you.
City,
huh?
City all the time. All the time. All right. Ian's back with us. I don't want to go to another call. I want to go back to Ian. Can we go to Ian? Is he okay? Have we checked?
Put your finger on the dump button there, James.
Are we good? All right, we're good. All right, so here's Ian. Now, Ian, we had to dump you when we went to you initially because it sounded like a little road rage. Everything okay now?
This guy cut me off, and then he wanted to drive like a grandmom in front of me. I don't have a problem you cutting me off, but don't drive like a grandmom.
Damn right.
Like, if you're going to cut me off, let's go. I got to get to work.
Is everything okay now?
Yeah, no, we good. But you know what really burns me up is people... They're in their cars and they talk all this, you know,
smack.
Rah-rah stuff.
Right.
But, so like I was telling them, man, you talking all that stuff, pull over. You know? we can settle this like men. You ain't got to talk behind your car.
There you go,
let's
Ian.
Get out the car.
I do not advocate violence, but this sounds like it was necessary.
No, I wasn't advocating violence, Mark. We were just going to talk it out.
Exactly.
Like, get over, pull over. We will have a conversation.
We will have a stern talking to.
Let's That's discuss.
Right. Yeah, right. All right, let's go rock, paper, scissors. Ian, my friend, why'd you call this morning? What's going on?
I listen to you guys every day, man. You guys are the greatest.
Thanks, man.
Mike, I think his name was Mike, man. He just bothered me. I hate the Eagles. They just built through free agency. Yo, does he watch sports, period?
Yes, he does. Mike's a good fan. That's just
his
take.
How sports go, though. Like, free agency is, if I told you, listen, I got this 6th-round draft pick. I'm going to trade it for DeSean Jackson. You know DeSean Jackson is good. You don't know what you're going to get from a 6th-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how it goes. You trade, you acquire free agents that you know are proven. Man, the draft is hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick a player in the draft, number one overall, Jamarcus Russell, and don't pan out. But if I tell you, listen, I'm going to trade you Odell Beckham Jr. and give you Jabril Peppers and a first-round pick and a third-round pick. Jabril Peppers, to me, ain't really that good.
No, I'm with you, Ian. I'm going to put you on hold, and hopefully you'll win the Sixers tickets later today. You're in the running for those, and it'll make your day brighter than some road rage, my friend. Bill in Schwanksville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, buddy.
Last night, just talking about the Sixers, first off, I made a point in the broadcast and I summarized my Sixers point, that Brett Brown put the number 15 on the board last night because they got 15 games. And after last night, this is what I got. There's no way they should be, even close to a Cleveland. They should blow out of Cleveland. Even
yes, of course.
They should have been up by 30. So, the team chemistry still isn't there. So, the turnovers, like I said before, I'm sick of the handoff at the 3-point line. At least 4 to 5 times a game, which leads to 6 to 10 points, they miss that play, and then they get a wide open either 3 or a breakaway layup every game. And you can't afford that in the playoffs against good teams like Milwaukee, Toronto, and the Boston. And they're doing this against bad teams. So, number 3,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.